Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Rouse, your host of the Grace Radio series, Voices. This adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell about matters of community interest. Our guest today on Voices is Pastor Morris St. Angelo of New Beginnings Church, a frequent guest, a good friend, and somebody who has something to say. So, Pastor Morris, welcome. Glad you're here.
Well, thank you so much, Bob. I like being a regular on your show. You know, I'm a big fan of what you're doing, and you've brought so many great voices to our community, and I'm glad I can squeak out a little bit of things that might be of interest.
Well, you always have a good thing for us to say, and you always give us things to think about, so it's truly a blessing to have you. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
I want to talk about 2018.
Okay.
We've been doing some things since the
first... Are we there yet?
Certainly.
I think I'm back someplace in the middle of 2017, so I'm not real sure. I'm a little slow getting started.
I do understand. But some of the things we've been doing since the first of the year is that one of the things we've been involved is a 21-day fast, which ended on Sunday, January the 28th. Maybe you, some reflection from you about the time that we spent with the Lord, what happened?
Well, you know, fasting is really a misnomer. You should ought to call it a slowing, because time just goes slower, and to do a 21-day fast is, you know, it's got to be God to get you through it, because it's just not the normal thing we do, probably beyond our survival. If somebody was trying to hurt us, the next thing we always want to do is make sure King's stomach gets fed, and it controls a whole lot of our lives. So for us to give up food for a while is good for us. The whole purpose is to draw nearer to God. It's not that he's drawn away from us, but we get a little rusty, I guess you might say. And so the fast does us good, gets us focusing on spiritual things. We Jesus said we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And in this world, you know, there's just a lot of things vying for our attention. Family, jobs, just businesses, politics, the whole arena of things. And it's good to put those things on the back burner in the first part of the year and try to get ourselves ready to run the race of 2018, if God is so gracious to let us live in 2018. So, yeah, fasting is a good thing to do. I'm glad it's over with. I usually, you know, they say when a championship team is finished the season, the next day they begin thinking about the next season. As soon as the fast ends, I'm still thinking about, gee, we're going to do this again next year.
One of the neat things about taking time away from the Lord is that it quiets the world, and it kind of lifts up the kingdom of God in our lives and helps us to better to hear and to understand what God said, maybe through the reading of Scripture, maybe through an article that we read written by a Christian writer, or maybe just simply just time alone, just quieting that spirit.
Yeah, and we don't do that enough. We live in these two worlds. They both vie for our attention. One demands attention, which is the physical world. The other asks us to join in and be a part of it, and that's the kingdom world. It's the gentleness of the Holy Spirit that tries to draw us away from the world, where we focus in on that citizenship. I know that I had recently written an article for the newspaper that talked about dual citizenship. We have a citizenship in the world, and we have a citizenship in the kingdom, and which one of those takes precedent over the other. In fact, somebody wrote to me and asked me that very question, how do I reconcile those two things? How do you be an on-fire patriot, which I am, and an on-fire ambassador for Christ in the kingdom? How do you reconcile those? And I reconcile it by knowing that, first of all, from the scriptures, we're told to be good citizens of the world. Romans chapter 13 talks about that, where we rules and kings and governments are set up for the good of the people. They reward good and they punish evil. That's their purpose for being here. We want government that is good, and so the way we do that is we become patriots, and we get involved in the system, and we talk to people in the system. So that we do have people who do the right thing. I believe it was John Adams said that our government is only made for a moral people. And so we want good, moral people in our government. If we disobey that government when it's taking care of us in the right way, and we rob a bank, speed on God's Boulevard, or do all the various things that we can expect the government to punish us, and rightly so. The worst thing, hopefully, is a ticket on God's Boulevard. The worst thing is they incarcerate you in jail. You know, I'm not in favor of either one of those things. So I want to be a good citizen as much as possible. But Jesus, I think, settled that one day with Peter when the taxes were due. Can you believe taxes have been going on for that long?
Oh, my gosh.
And he's got a coin of the realm of Rome and said, whose picture is on there? And they said, Rome's. He said, well, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and unto God the things that are God's. We do pay homage to God, our Savior, and our Lord Jesus Christ, but we also recognize the authority that's over us. One of the things that I try to do is, as you know, we have a lot of interaction with our mayor, Freddie Drennan, and I can't call him Freddie. I'm looking forward to when he's out of office that I can call him Freddie, because I call him mayor. He's due homage to the place that he holds in our community. So we recognize and we are involved in that part of our lives. But the apostles, when they were preaching the gospel, and they got in trouble for it, not everybody was friendly to it, and they told them to stop preaching in that name. And they asked a rhetorical question, you know, who should we obey, government or God? And so when it comes to this, we have to make decisions about how we're going to act and interact in these two kingdoms. And it's important that we know that. We obey laws that follow the pattern set out by God. If someone said, I can't remember who it was back in the day, I guess I can put it that way, that when a law is made that's contrary to God, that's no law at all. And so we're not obligated to obey that law. For instance, if the government said you can only have two children, if you have a third child, you have to have an abortion, that's a law that I couldn't follow. You know, I wouldn't have followed that law. So we follow good moral laws, and we bring the kingdom of God in to influence the government as much as we can.
Well, that's where the kingdom of God comes in, because how would we know what good moral laws are? It's not somebody's better judgment of saying, well, I'm a well-educated, experienced person, therefore it's okay to abort babies. Mm-hmm. It's okay to do things that we would consider to be ungodly. But without a citizenship in the kingdom of God, we really don't know.
Exactly.
We don't know. And it's not so much that God lays down rules and said, I'm gonna zap you if you do this. But God's laid down many preferences, mm-hmm, about how we need to live our lives in order to be comfortable, to be happy, to be at peace. The gospel talks about joy. How do we get joy? And we get joy by following the things that God told us and Christ demonstrated when he lived on the face of the earth. One of the first acts of Jesus when he was first baptized, he said, behold, the kingdom of God is here.
Amen. Amen.
That was inauguration day. That was the July 4th for the kingdom of God.
It sure was. You know, when you talked about God laid out some preferences for us, it reminds me of a good friend, a mutual friend of ours, when he said one day that the Ten Commandments were not the 10 suggestions.
Exactly.
You know, he expected us to follow those things. And so, you know, Bob, many times when I talk to people who do not have that dual citizenship that we're talking about, and they say things from a very worldly perspective and things that for instance, they're pro-life, or they may be in favor of homosexual unions or things that I would be opposed to because of the scriptures, I have to remind myself that a lot of things they just don't know. And I'm always amazed that when you find someone, and you can have a civil dialogue, and I think you should, and we need to, you start telling them things, and many times they don't know. They just don't know what the preferences, if you will, of the kingdom really are. So it's incumbent upon us to make sure that they know and to bring influence to how many politicians know that God instituted government. Our Constitution said that. You know, our Constitution says that we have certain rights. They recognize that we're endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. Those inalienable are one of those 50-cent words that means they didn't give it to us and they can't take it away from us, all right? It's not a government thing. It's a God thing. And among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So life is important, and we need to value life, whether it's in the womb or whether it's an old guy on his deathbed and somebody wants to, which is growing in popularity, euthanasia. So we need to get the word out to folks about what God's word says, because it works. And otherwise, people don't know, and when they find out, they change their mind. And when they change their mind, they change the way they believe. When they change what they believe, they change the way they act.
Well, you know, for many years, I lived my life without understanding the significance of the kingdom of God or even the necessity for it. Mm-hmm. You know, nice people go to church, so I'll be a nice person and go to church. But it's so much more than that.
Oh, yeah.
It's so much more than that. We've had the opportunity as missionaries to travel extensively throughout the United States and through other and through many foreign countries. And our American passport is magic. Other people stand in these long lines with special visas and all of this to be able to go into countries. We go and show our American passport, and we're in.
Wow.
We belong to something significant that makes a difference. And when I received my Christian passport by accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I found the same thing, that suddenly life was better. Suddenly I had access to knowledge and to information about how to live my life successfully in God's eyes with a reward of eternal life.
Yeah, you know, Bob, that's interesting you said that. It reminds me of since I was sitting in this room listening to you do an interview with a candidate for our city council, and he told the story that on a business trip that he felt impressed to talk to this individual, but he thought, well, this is a corporate world, and he was off on a business trip, you know, that he didn't want to do that and kind of resisted it. But when he went to bed that night, he just he kept thinking about it. And the next day, when he met with that person again, he decided just to, he had a song that he had thought of, and he shared the song with that individual. That individual was very gracious and thanked him for it. And then he had an opportunity to talk to him in private. And when he said something about, you know, I really felt the need to talk to you, and he asked if he could pray for him. And that person broke down in tears, and they disclosed to him that they had just lost their best friend, someone they grew up with, and they had died tragically in an automobile accident. And so, and how it touched that candidate for city council to know that God could speak to him. See, that's the citizenship in the kingdom that you're talking about, where the Holy Spirit can speak to us and put us in a position where we can help people who are maybe not in the kingdom. So, and that's the way we influence. So, yeah, it's just like the passport that gets you through the line at the airport, that passport to the kingdom will take you places that other people never go.
Well, it opens doors. I mean, it opens doors in countries to say, hey, you're welcome here, walk through, and it gives us a chance to bring ourselves into that country. In the kingdom of God, it opens doors.
Yes.
It opens doors that give us a purpose in life, that give us an understanding of why were we ever born, why are we here? As the Holy Spirit has imparted gifts to every one of us. Everyone has a wonderful gift from God. It's the kingdom of God that unlocks those gifts.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned 2018. In our town, and we're talking to our town, Slidell, and it's my adopted home since 1971, I think, when I moved here, with my wife, who was a native. We're going to have some big changes. We're going to have a new mayor. And, you know, historically, for the last, as long as I can remember, whoever was elected as police chief became elected as mayor, and that, you know, these have been real familiar faces to us. But we got some new faces and some familiar faces that are running for mayor. Our city council is going to have a big turnover. It's an opportunity for us. It's a little bit of trepidation because we're kind of used to working with the people in political office here in our community that we know, and we're going to have some new faces. And it's incumbent upon us, I believe, to speak to those people so that they know that guys like you and me with dual citizenship have a certain expectation of being involved. I know we've brought this subject up before about the separation of church and state. That is such a misnomer that has been so abused in our society. Our founding fathers never intended for us to be absent of the political process. What they set up is a process where government can't interfere with the kingdom of God. But they believed wholeheartedly, and if you go back and read some of the things they wrote and said, they not only were godly men and women who were involved in the process, they expected us to be involved. And so I believe we have a civic obligation to talk to people and let them know that the Christian community needs them to make sure that the laws that are passed are good laws for the citizenship. And that we want to pray for them. We want to be at the table. We want to make sure that God has a seat at the table, so to speak, when they're making decisions. So we need to be involved and not to be absent when it comes to government.
Amen. Well, Pastor, let's change the subject a little bit and move on to 2018. New year, new opportunities. In the spiritual realm, what's the climate? What do you see? What's God speaking to your heart about what we need to be doing? Is it anything different than we've been doing, or is it just to redouble our efforts? What's God saying to you?
You know, I always have a sense of apprehension about a new year. I mean, nothing's changed other than the calendar. We just flipped it over. But, you know, but we do, you know, look at it as a new time and fresh, and what is the vision for the year. I really sense that God is going to do two things. One is to build on a sure foundation that we've built in previous years, but also sense a freshness of some new things. In my own life, I feel that there's going to be some changes for the better. I feel that in our community, we're going to see some changes for the better. I just mentioned we're going to have some governmental changes. You know, we've got a marvelous coalition of good people in our community who want to make a difference. One of the big things is trying to do something with mental health deficit that we have in our community, trying to deal with people who seem fit, that they're just killing themselves. They can't cope with life for a whole multitude of reasons, to try to have a change with that. I'd like to see at the end of 2018, if we're all still here, that Will have said that this was a great year of positive change. You know, you mentioned when Jesus said, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand, and John the Baptizer made that same statement. I believe the kingdom is here, and I believe we're going to see an unfolding of that because of some of the things that are being done in Washington, D.C., tax breaks and business breaks, and I think our economy is going to boom. But we can't let the boom in the economy overshadow the boom in the kingdom. We want to see the kingdom explode along with it.
Amen.
In a positive
Amen.
Way.
Yes.
Because if people depend on wealth and prosperity, it is a false god that will disappoint and will. It's like a python that'll wrap around a person and just squeeze the very life out of them. Money is not the solution. More paying your paycheck is not the solution. Question is, what will you do with that prosperity? And I'm believing that in 2018, people are going to use their prosperity in the kingdom. And so I'm looking forward to that, some good, positive changes, and I want to see the kingdom explode right along with the economic explosion that we have.
You know, I sense in my spirit that there will be a spiritual awakening in 2018.
Yeah.
We're set for it. Mm-hmm. We're set for it. We've had a number of years of maybe what I felt was spiritual drought, and it's time for the rain.
Yeah.
It's time for the rain of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to refresh everyone. And I'm just looking forward to seeing more of God in people's lives, to seeing people responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ, for people applying, if you will, for dual citizenship and coming into the kingdom. And for 2018 to be that year to be a fulcrum year, to be a turning point year, to be a year when the newness and the goodness of God becomes evident in even more people's lives as we become transparent, as we become open in our faith, to be able to live out that which Christ has given to each one of us.
Yeah, Bob, can I climb on your hobby horse for a minute? Because I know one of the things that you like to ride to ride your pony on is we need to be a church in action and not be passive. We can't sit behind the four walls of our individual churches and in our homes and expect things to be different. Metamorphosis doesn't work in the kingdom. Jesus said, go, and we need to go. We just had an experience in our church that it's really encouraging. One of the ladies in our church was in, I believe, Hobby Lobby, you know, picking up something that she was doing. She met another lady there, and I don't know how the conversation got started, but it did. The lady in my church was talking to this other lady and talking about grace, the grace of God. And as you know, that's our forte. This is Grace Radio, for goodness sakes. And she said, as she spoke to the lady said, I'm just looking for a church where the grace of God is proclaimed. Well, the lady in my church said, well, we have a church just like that. And this lady said, really? Well, as it turns out, an invitation was given, and this lady and her husband showed up at our church. Well, the point is, somebody had to say something to somebody else in order for it to work. You can't just sit there and think it. You got to say it. And it can be in a line at Hobby Lobby. It can be on the job. It can be wherever you are. And to let a little holy boldness come out. And just, you know, think about it this way, Bob. You don't have to be a theologian. All you have to do is know Jesus. That's it. The early church didn't turn the world upside down because everybody went to seminary. It got turned upside down because people followed Jesus' admonition to go and tell. And that's what we can do. Whether, no matter where it is, if you just tell people, you can have an impact on their lives. Wanting it to be so won't make it happen. Listening to the Holy Spirit and doing things, just like that guy you interviewed did. He listened for the voice of God. God spoke to him, and he said something. Get out of our comfort zone and do something. The most famous grace passages in Ephesians 2:8-9. You know, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But the next verse, nobody reads it. They don't get there. It says, but we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. So God recreated us in Christ Jesus that we would do something. So my admonition to myself, to you as my dear friend, to those listening on the radio, be a doer of the word. Do by just telling people about the goodness of God. You don't have to be a theologian. Tell what God has done in your life. If God hasn't done anything in your life, come see me, because I need to talk to you. Because he has, and you just need to be aware of it and tell somebody else.
Pastor Marcy, you're on to something great right now about doing. If I wanted to speak the good news, if I wanted to speak the gospel, not as a theologian, not as someone who had the Bible memorized, but I just wanted to speak plain words, what words would you choose to be able to describe to somebody who didn't know, somebody who is at least interested in listening to the next 30 seconds? What would you say to them?
I would say that there is a dimension that's not seen with the naked eye. It's called the kingdom of God, and that people can have citizenship in that kingdom. And, you know, people are interested in sci-fi and a lot of stuff. You could just use a sci-fi. You know, just say to someone, did you know that there's another dimension here that you can't see? Man, that'll open up a dialogue for you right there. They could say, well, what kingdom? You're talking about the fifth dimension? Say, no, I'm talking about the kingdom of God. It's right here. You can't see it. But tell them that they can get into the kingdom through the door, which is Jesus Christ. Simple little things like that. Start a conversation. I wouldn't necessarily look for these kind of events, but I was in a hotel one time working, and I was in the back room of a hotel where all the work takes place. It's not the fancy front desk where everything's pristine, but it's the back room where people are working. And I was working because I was installing a computer system there, and there's a door that leads to that front desk, and this very attractive young woman walked from that front desk, and she was dressed in her uniform as a front desk clerk, into the bullpen where I was, and she shouted out some profanities about the guest who had just given her a hard time. And she was just very, very frustrated, but she used language that was very unbecoming to her. And without, I didn't take a whole lot of thought about it. I just did it. I said out loud, louder than I intended to say, "What's a beautiful young woman like you doing using that kind of language?" Well, it just shut down about 20 people who were working at this conversation. It started up. Well, since I had an audience, and I just said, you know, God loves you, and God really doesn't want you using that kind of language. I mean, he's got better plans for you than that. Well, when I brought God into the conversation, you know, everybody put their head down and went back to work. And she spun around and went back out where the guest was. She rather faced a hostile guest than me. Well, about 30 minutes later, I was busy working, and there was a tap on my shoulder. And I looked up, and it was that young woman. And she said, "Could I talk to you privately for a moment?" And I said, "Sure." And I realized something important was about to happen.
Yes, okay.
And I went into it. It was a little private office there, and I walked into it and closed the door. And she began to weep. And she said, "You know, when you said that about God had a plan for my life," she said, "my life is a wreck. I'm a single mom. I haven't been a good mom. They've taken my child away from me. My mother's praying for me and telling me that I needed God in my life. And when you said that, I realized that I do need God in my life. Can you help me?"
Oh, wow.
And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I can." And I told her the story of Jesus Christ and his love, that he cared for her, and that he was willing to forgive all of her sins and help her and to change her and give her the joy in life that she was looking for. And she said, "What do I need to do?" I said, "Just pray a simple little prayer." And I led her in a simple little prayer. "You know, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I put my trust in you. Would you change my life? Would you help me?" And when she prayed that prayer, and she just wept, and finally when she got her composure, she thanked me and she walked out. Well, I was in that hotel for a couple of more weeks working. Every time I saw that woman, that young woman, she was so different, Bob. And she would come up to me and she said, "I feel so good. I'm so excited. I told my mom what happened." And she went on, and I left. And I don't have much more to say about that other than I was in a place, an opportunity by the Holy Spirit presented itself, and somebody's life was changed. I like to believe, and this is just a supposition because I don't know, I like to believe that that woman is a new creation in Christ, living in this new dimension of the kingdom of God, got her baby back, and I believe her life was changed.
Amen. And what a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that. For those who are looking for peace, joy, forgiveness, and understanding, that's what the kingdom of God is all about.
Amen.
And it's simply a matter of giving ourselves to Christ, asking him to come into our hearts, and believing that he died for our sins.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, Pastor Morris, it's been magnificent talking to you again.
It's
we
my joy.
Thank you. We thank you so much for your time and your wisdom. And I know that a lot of what you say isn't off the top of your head. It comes from hours spent in the scriptures, reading, studying. And I thank you for sharing the things you have today. They've really made a difference to many of us.
Well, thank you, Bob. It's I love this radio station. I love what you're doing, as I said when we started. And I'm always looking for you to invite me and show up because I believe that this community, Slidell, that we live in, is a marvelous place. I love it. I love the people in it. And I want to see everyone. Wouldn't it be nice if everybody in Slidell one day, when it's all said and done, and the last trumpet is sounded, we'd all be together in Slidell in heaven, and just to see what that other dimension really looks like.
Amen, amen. Well, I can't wait for the day, and I'm just going to believe it's going to happen, just
amen.
The way you
Let's
said.
Amen, let's just believe it.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Morris. And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio. We want to hear from you. Give us a call at 985-250-1037. Send us a text, leave a comment. We value your input. We'd also encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell, and check out our website, www.graceradioslidell.net. There you can find programming information. You can find information about how to make donations to our station. Again, give us a call, 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again daily for Voices of Slidell at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.